This week on RSBNB Update, we'll be discussing Skillfu, the most recent addition to Solomon's general store. Also, behind the scenes, rebuilding a city, Alcard, a new look for the desert city that we all know, and summer party on. Get that barbecue before it's too late. This is RSBNB Update, episode 375, recorded Friday, August 24th, 2012. Foreign Access. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Bits. RSBNB Update. I'm thinking about something else there. Anyways.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Daily Bits is my website. Trek and myself are here this week.
Yo.
And we're here to discuss, well, a week of Solomons and squeals and...
Skillfu!
What was that?
Skillfu!
Oh, I get it. Skillfu. Right. I never heard it pronounced like that before. But Skillfu! Did I do it right?
Sure, why not?
Alright, so Skillfu is what we got here.
Okay.
It's a Solomon store edition. Granted, some of you listening to this are not going to be that impressed with this because, well, you don't like Solomons and you don't like Squeal of Fortune and you don't like what JX has been doing this year. But in any case, we are here to tell you about Skillfu. In particular, iron fist smithing, shape metal at your will with your fist, or chi blast mining, slice through wood as if it were butter. Mixed up here on the commas, but slice through wood if it was butter with karate chop fletching, and sky jump teleport to your favorite location of choice.
Sky jump. I think that's from The Matrix.
Oh, okay. I thought it was from one of those old style Nintendo games, maybe?
Let's see. Trying to think of it off of my head. It's not.
Yeah.
I can't think of any right now, but it just kind of reminds me of The Matrix. He just needs to wear a suit.
Yeah. So essentially, these are more animations for doing various skilling around RuneScape and whatnot, because I'm guessing that those were initially the most popular things in Solomon's general store. Did you buy any of those first ones with your 200 free points?
I didn't buy any of them. I'm just going to wait. Maybe they'll have a massive sale one day, be like 50% off or something like that. Other than that, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah. Only thing I bought so far with my 200 free points was the Kick Sand emote. Yeah, and you wonder why.
Well, but, I didn't buy anything. As I was saying, I didn't buy anything yet. I'm just going to wait. But a couple of things I do want. A lot of the new animations I want to get, but, you know, not at the current price.
Yeah. Well, as a member, you do get a 10% off discount.
That's not much.
Well, no, it's not. But it goes a long way to showing that, you know, you as a member have invested money into the game, so you might as well have a slight discount on this. It's probably not enough to make someone decide that they want to get this, but oh well. Another thing we didn't mention here was samurai cooking.
Yes, I remember that. It looked funny when someone was doing it in the Catherby.
Yeah. Also, roundhouse wood cutting. So a swift roundhouse kick to chop a tree down. I don't know what that would do for your foot, given the size of some of the yew trees in game, but whatever.
Well, I feel sorry for whoever's smithing on an anvil with his fist. I mean,
yeah,
your fists aren't designed to be smashing metal, and I think if you do, you'll probably break every bone in your hand.
That's what smashing wood sounds like. I don't have anything metal here, but my hand would be much more sore if I was smashing wood than I was smashing metal. Anyways, as we said, 10% off discount, just a bunch of little animations here. Not much to see with this, unless you are, of course, interested in this. I would probably go for the iron fist smithing, since I already have 99 woodcutting and 99 fletching, so I wouldn't see much of the roundhouse woodcutting. Actually, no, I take that back. I'd go for the roundhouse woodcutting.
Well, so you can, you know... do an attack on Murphic.
Do a what?
It's a Street Fighter move. Probably
oh,
said it
okay.
Wrong anyway.
Well,
yeah, but
just to do the move.
If I could, I want to get them the cheap blasting mining one. You know, start duking all the mineral rocks and get them all out. probably faster than a pickaxe any day.
Yeah, and you know the thing I gotta wonder with this is that you're. Like, let's say you were doing this in the Living Rock Caverns, how many people would actually see this? And because there's just so many people down there, and I'm just wondering if it would be good for the frame rates for everyone else involved, because, you know, as it is, the frame rates in the Living Rock Cavern can dip quite a bit if it's a very busy time. So hopefully it plays nice with that.
Yeah, well, they just need to get rid of more bots. Then, you know, getting rid of bots solve all problems.
Yeah, and we actually got an addendum on that from last week, so we'll mention that in a bit. Also, everybody can get the Zen Resting animation now for free.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so just sign in to Solomon's, and you'll be able to claim the Zen Resting animation. It's under the same page that all the skill animations are under. So, I think it's nice that they give this stuff for free to... people, just to give them a taste of what's in the Solomon store. That way, then you don't necessarily need to buy stuff from Solomon. And let's also be clear that none of the stuff in Solomon so far has given you an extra boost to your game that you can't have in game. So it's all purely cosmetic so far, which, as we discussed last week, is just fine.
Yes, if you want to wear that pretty dress, go for it.
Which pretty dress is this?
The tropical outfit.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, there's another piece of that available this week as well. The sandals, there's only one piece left, so you can go claim all four pieces so far and claim the fifth piece next week as well. So even if you missed out, you can claim it. Actually, last week after the show was recorded, I went on RuneWire and I posted a picture of me in my tropical islander outfit.
You need a six-pack, Shane.
Yeah, little, you know, I think that's something they could work on.
You're, you know, getting a little chubby over there with all the sharks that you've been eating and all the rock tails.
Yeah, but, you know, it'd be nice to have full customization on RuneScape, because for a long time I said I wanted to make my character fat.
Really? You want to make your character fat?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I don't do that much combat. And I mostly do farming and stuff, so why can't I just be a fat farmer with a straw hat, you know?
Wouldn't you be a skinny farmer with a straw hat, considering you've been walking around everywhere and, you know, doing physical labor?
You know, maybe, kind of you know, that's true. That's right.
Unless you plan to give your character diabetes.
No, I don't want to do that. Actually, maybe you'd be the fat one, because you have 99 fishing and cooking.
Mm. Hey, fishing is a sport. I drink beer as I fish.
All right. I don't know how we got on that, but let's talk about some of the little tweaks and fixes this week. You still have time to do Some Like It Cold and get the early bird bonus. That's been extended until August 28th. This is something people wanted for a long time, and you know, you really got to question sometimes where these decisions come from. Not everybody wanted to have that navigation bar up at the top of the game app, so that can finally be turned off.
Cool.
I wish they'd also have an option in the downloadable client to turn off the little bar at the bottom, you know, that says this game is copyright Jagex, yada, 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 because that's really annoying as well. Just give us a full game window, please. That would be best. Let's see. Oh, yes, this was a favorite one for me. A farmer has walked into Alcard and kindly agreed to look after your cactus patches for 6 cataba berries per cactus.
So that's super cheap.
I know, and, you know, it's such a good thing because back in the day, I would do these farming runs that would cover everything, including the cactus patch, and the cactus patch would die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just nice to finally not have to worry about that. Oh, this is also a good one for Pyramid Plunder. Simon Templeton will now accept noted artifacts.
Thank God. I'll finally flag them all at once. What took him so long?
Yeah. I mean, do you remember how long it would take after a thieving trip to just dump all those things in? It was just bad.
Yeah, I just kept all the gold ones and then put them in my bank, and then after when I finally get a whole bunch of them, I had to do it all at once.
Yeah.
It still took a while because considering you had to travel over there anyway, but it was a decent way to make a little extra cash while thieving.
Mm-hmm.
I actually need to go back down below to the rogues then and level it up a little bit more. Get the suit.
What was our verdict on the rogues den? Because I remember I wasn't much of a fan of thieving when this update came out, so I abstained from doing that. But rogues den equals good? Or?
Me.
Okay.
It's only you do that if you're bored to death or want the full completionist cape.
Right. I'm glad I'm not going for a completionist cape.
I don't think anyone has a completionist cape.
I think there's a few people.
Not a full one.
Hmm. I don't know. I'm sure there's one or two. But anyways, also referring back to the tweaks and fixes, you might have noticed this was absent the last 2 weeks. That's back here now on this list. Nothing really to highlight this week except that Fish Flingers no longer appears during the Piscatoris during the Swan Song quest.
Mm-hmm. What's the other one? And you get a little more organic quartz if you're mining Bane ore, but and red sandstones. But then again, most people get those quite easily anyway if they were really looking for it. Let's see. What was the other one?
This is another one that interests me. The Ring of Visibility now protects on death.
I think they did that because of the new ghostly penguin probably having some in the wild, and suddenly they're just getting killed by people.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. That's a quest item, so it shouldn't disappear on death. I mean, making people go back to that guy to get is just extra time that's not needed.
Hmm.
So that's the tweaks and fixes for this week. Moving on to behind the scenes video 15. Rebuilding Alcard. You'll note that there is no Penguin update this week. This week was actually meant to be a week off from main game updates like that. So the Penguin update will be out next week, and that rounds off everything that was promised in August. But coming first week of September, I assume, is this new version of Alcard.
Yes. They're making it look more Disney.
More Disney?
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were making it look more Middle Eastern.
You never watched Aladdin as a kid, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh my God! Did you have a terrible childhood, and where your parents deprive you of cartoons? Or
no, I had a good childhood.
Shane, we really need to strap you down and tie you, forcing you to watch cartoons.
I just never saw the point of them. I mean, I found them boring when we'd watch these videos in school. I mean, I'm sure we watched Aladdin or something like that in school, but I just found it boring. But
But
anyways.
basically, there's a character in there who kind of looks like Princess Jasmine from Aladdin, at least from the
Okay.
scene.
Yeah, you know that's another thing they mentioned in this video. They showed the way the modelers work and everything in there, making it so that the models we see in the game aren't exactly all based on the same template. They want to be able to have whatever shape they want to have. So, I mean, nothing is restricted anymore in terms of what they do with their modeling. So that's good in that respect. They're also changing the way you enter Alcard, rather from just being a gate, it's actually going to be a canyon kind of thing to make it more seem as though you're actually entering a desert canyon, which kind of makes sense because if you think about it, at that back area, that's kind of the only canyon in Alcard there. So, and then it just gets all flat. But I like the way it looks. It looks more Middle Eastern. Which is probably where they're taking their design cues from, and of course, desert-like.
There we go. Okay, so well, it should come out next. Is it coming out in early September?
I think it's going to come out in the first week of September, based on the schedule we're on right now, but there's nothing said about this, so it could be included in next week's update.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it and see how it looks, and we'll snap pictures.
Yes, lots of pictures. All right, so summer party, part of Sizzling Summer. A couple new items added to the squeal this week that you might be able to get, including the Summer Barbecue, which is a portable cooking range that will give you an extra 10% cooking XP. What?
Barbecue. A little late for that now. Everybody's
Yeah, I
coming
mean,
back to
I.
school.
Maybe they do it differently in the UK, and their main summer months are in August and September, rather than June, July, and August, how it's here, just based on how things go. Because you are right on that. But you'll be able to use this barbecue 999 times before it burns out. So they're being added this week to the uncommon, or this weekend rather, to the uncommon slots, and after that, they'll of course be moved around.
And you also have a nice ice cream cone hat.
I don't know about that. I don't like the way that looks.
Actually got one earlier today.
Oh, okay, how many spins did it take?
One.
Oh.
But
All
then
right.
again, after that spin, it was 2,000 coin slots.
Yeah,
I just put into 10 and just click, I don't care anymore. I'm never going to get any of the other stuff, and so this is as random as it will get. If I
it
really,
also
really want.
includes.
If I
It also
really wanted
includes.
to.
Okay.
Go ahead. You go. You go.
No,
It's
you.
okay. I was just going to say that if I really wanted to try and get what I wanted, I would slow it down to, times three and time it out correctly. I've always gotten
Yeah.
pretty close to the item I want.
It also includes a 10 charges of food in case you get a bit peckish. And there's two more items. A personal sun or storm cloud that floats above your head.
I want the sun storm. I got the
Yeah.
storm cloud ring on the spin, but I didn't get it. I got the cone instead.
Ah.
But the cone. One little thing about the cone is that it will also help prevent dehydration in the desert.
Okay, does it run out?
I don't know.
That would be an interesting thing to know about.
But then again, you would just wear your water tiara anyway,
Yeah,
so.
that too. The Summer Sun Ring will generate a small sun orb while worn, which gives you +2 bonus to your defense stats. While the Storm Ring will give you a +2 bonus to your offensive stats.
They should make these things tradable, at least those two.
Why? I don't know what that would do.
Get more people to buy spins. I mean, they did it with the fish mask. At least this
Yeah,
one
that's
actually
true.
is more useful. So, if you have enough money to shell out, you can trade it in for real money.
Anyways, also they say that when the year ticks over to 2013, all remaining gameplay effects from these items will be removed.
Aww. Okay.
Yeah, so no stockpiling up of
rings.
Which one? Yeah, rings.
Yes. We had a problem with our rings, didn't we, this week? Last week, anyway.
We did.
Yeah, he's so, probably listening to
go
us right now, anyway.
Spin the wheel.
All right, so good luck on the spins.
So, just a note about the Combat Beta weekend. There's no item reward this weekend, but they want you to test out Barbarian Assault and give it a go and let them know how it works with the new game mechanics and everything. They say the reason they're doing this, I want to say, is because they need as much
data.
Yeah, that, and constructive criticism from you, the community, as possible. Because as it stands right now, the combat evolution is needed because combat hasn't been changed since RuneScape first started. And, you know, in order for something to survive, it needs to evolve. And in doing that, the way testing and stuff works in this day and age, essentially, you need to involve your community in that. And I know from a personal account that the people at Jagex are very happy about the way the combat beta is going and what it's going to bring to everyone. But they also want that to make sure that the players are happy with it. They're not going to try and shove this down the throats of players without people being fully happy about it. That's precisely the reason why this is being delayed into September and October for testing. They don't want to put something out that people aren't going to like. So rather than complaining about the combat beta and requesting that the game be forked like the same way they did with RuneScape Classic when RS2 came out, rather than complaining about all that, I suggest you play the combat beta, take some notes down about what you don't like about it this weekend in particular, Barbarian Assault, and please do go post on their forums regarding this. Because if you don't post, you're not helping out JX to find out what's wrong with the system, right? So it's a two-way street. They got to provide the content, and you got to provide constructive criticism back, rather than just blindly complaining about, I don't like this, you can kill the game. But please do provide some feedback on this, because it's something that they do want to make right. And, I mean, they just want to get as many people about this happy as before they release it. So, you are doing the community a favor if you would actually play the beta and embrace it a bit and send some feedback in. I'm done.
Yes, and you know, Barbarian Assault was never very hard in this game anyway. They just had to change the combat stance a little bit to match up. And since now you can have all your combat attacks on the bar, it may be easier than before. You don't have to switch weapons and all that too much. But that's just my thoughts on it. Who knows?
Maybe it's worse. I like Barbarian Assault, but the problem was is that I was never able to get a good team together from people who were just around in that area. The best way of doing it, I found, was to just go with a bunch of people you know. And, you know, over time, Barbarian Assault kind of, we don't really need this. So, I mean, unless, like, we don't need the or the rewards after they initially come out. So, I mean, it just kind of went away for me because I have nothing in there I need, but I did like the activity. So maybe I'll give it a try this weekend, see what they've done to it on Evolution of Combat.
I remember the first week it came out, it actually threw me off of my Tears of Gothic thing. I didn't have 100,000 experience because Barbarian Assault didn't give you any experience. So I was like, oh man, I had to go out and do something instead of staying in Barbarian Assault. I liked it, you know. When you had a nice group going, it was great.
Yep, I think it was one of JX's first team endeavors. One of the other ones being Dungeoneering. But anyways, let us move on. Just a bit of an addendum from last week. We did mention that high-profile dicing and botting accounts were banned last week, but there's no post of it on the front page. This Monday, they did indeed post on the front page, so I give them full credit for posting that. So I'm happy that they posted this.
Yeah, but they didn't really say anything about the other bands that they were in there, but...
Yeah,
they
but
really
they
said
linked
it was
to the forum topic.
Well, there was more than one topic in it.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to have a rundown of all the different posts in there. I mean, we got the Botting Clans ban, High Profile Accounts ban, 101 High Score Bots ban, and I think we had something else that kind of slipped away, but...
Well, they're still working out the kinks in their new bot detection system, so when we don't see any more bots, that would be completely awesome. And when I stop getting bots spamming my PM, I would be very, very happy. The other day, I turned it off for like exactly 5 seconds because I had to get someone message me. I did not get that message. All I got was about 6 people telling me to go onto this website to get gold. And Shane,
hopefully when the...
Can you ever read the URL they're trying to type in?
No, not really. You need to like study it for a couple of minutes to see it.
It's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to questions, shall we?
All right. So we have 3 auto questions this week and 2 text questions. So let's go with Kapai.
Hello, RSBNB host. Kapai here. Are you looking forward to the evolution of combat? And do you think you would still be playing RS if RSBNB didn't exist? Thanks.
I am looking forward to the evolution of combat. As a matter of fact, I'm debating right now. I want to get 99 summoning one day because I like that skill. I find it's a lot like Herblore, and that's one of my favorite skills. So I'm debating whether or not I do my combat now in order to just have a bit of a memory of what combat used to be like since I haven't really went on a combat binge in a while, or do I wait until the evolution of combat when it'll be less monotonous for me? Because people say the evolution of combat makes it so you need to focus more and whatnot, but I just find it makes combat more monotonous, or less monotonous, and that's always an issue I had with the combat system. So I'm kind of debating, do I go on my combat now, or do I wait until this comes out?
Well,
yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, the other thing is to remember is that they do have a new ultimate skill that came out last week, which is supposed to help those who do not want to be, you know, spam clicking every button. They just get it up to ultimate, click on it, and just watch TV for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the best of both worlds, and you can use whichever one you like better.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this also goes back to what I was saying regarding this. And the evolution of combat is a thing in progress. And they do want to make sure that I've heard again from a reliable source, a first ring source, I guess you could say, is that they are truly concerned about what the players think on this. And they want to make it so that you like the combat update. So, I mean, even just play regular combat and send a few thoughts about this and post it in the right topic and it'll get read. So, just do that.
It's fun, eh?
Yeah, I mean, we had good fun when we were initially testing it, didn't we?
Tsunami! I love that skill. It was fun to use.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I haven't really done yet is I haven't explored using multiple combat types. Because
I tried. I couldn't get it to work correctly. I really have to try and figure that one out with X-Blade. I tried doing mage and range, and it just did not work. I could not fire both weapons.
Well, I want to do a bit of that too, so maybe one day next weekend I will sit down together and try this, because I wanted to explore a melee and a ranged combo for some Slayer task, you know? Because Slayer monsters are magic based, and of course magic is weak to ranged, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, why not just have my default hack and slash melee set, and then also carry around the crossbow, right? So I do want to look into that as well. That's one thing I haven't really done yet, but to sum up the question, yes, we are both looking forward to it.
All right. So, Shane, what would if you did not create RSBNB, would you still be playing RS?
I honestly don't know. Sometimes I think no, sometimes I think I'd be playing it more, because over the past years, my primary focus has been doing what I do on RS and, of course, reporting back on the show or doing things for various RSBNB little features. So the thing is, would I have had a different... Would I have played RuneScape differently? Potentially. So, I mean, maybe it would have been more interesting to me, or maybe I just would have let it go in 2005. I don't know.
Let's see. If it was me, I probably would not. If RSBNB did not exist, I don't think I would be playing RS anymore. Probably do something else. You know, one of the reasons I really come on... play RS more is for you, is for the show, and it's for, you know, just be around with the community a bit more on in the forum and in the game. I think that if you didn't have the website kept me in the game, I probably would have left a long time ago.
Well, you did take a break.
When yeah, but then about what 3 years ago, I took a good break. I took like a whole year off. I was like, that was nice.
Yeah,
it got. He gave me a whole bunch of quests to do, and I was like, I don't want to do it anymore.
But quests are the best part.
I didn't say it was bad, but it was like one of those things. Like, I saw so much red, and I was like, oh, man. Okay, let's see which one's easy and I can just get rid of really quick. And the rest, I was like, whatever happens, happens.
Yep. And another thing, you let a whole year go by and you get a whole bunch of other new skill training things coming out. You know, that's one of the reasons I say maybe I would be playing more if I didn't have RSBNB than I do now, because you're up to the game every week, so you know everything that's coming out, and you don't have much to experiment with. So, I mean, sometimes it works letting updates stack, because right now I'm still working on that Mauritania hard task, clearing out 200 Firewatch corpses. Anyways, are we done with that one?
Yeah, we're done with that one.
All right. Thank you, Carp Pie. Next one is from Uncle Dano.
Greetings, illustrious hosts of RSBNB Update. It is none other than Uncle Dano here, this time with a very deep question that is intended to explore your innermost thoughts and feelings. So in preparation for this, I'd like you to play along with me here. Get in a comfortable position, close your eyes, and begin to relax. Now take a deep breath. Good. Relax. Now keep doing that as you clear your mind of all thoughts except for the smooth, soothing sound of my voice. Now concentrate. Really concentrate and think of RuneScape. Really think about this question. Is RuneScape to you just another computer game? Or is RuneScape actually a part of your life and part of who you are as a person? What about RuneScape captivates you and wants you to come back for more again and again? Is it the inherent addictive nature of the game striving for higher and higher levels? Is it that RuneScape is an MMORPG and it's the interaction with the RS community, building and maintaining friendships with other players? What role does RuneScape play in your life beyond just being a computer game and a source of amusement? Thank you very much for taking my audio question, and I really look forward to your responses. Wishing you Godspeed and another fine day in escape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dan.
That's falling asleep, not being relaxed. I don't think you want to fall asleep for that question.
No, his voice was just so soothing. I just let my mind drift in. And I felt like I was in Nirvana.
All right.
I'm back. I'm okay. That was very relaxing.
Okay.
So, Shane.
So.
Is RS another computer game for you, or did you make it part of your life?
I wouldn't say it's a part of my life. I'd say it has influenced my life. I mean, it's not on the center stage as much as it used to be, primarily because it's not a social activity, like, for instance, playing StarCraft II is with you, or going to play Star Trek Online with you, you know? It needs to be a social activity to be a part of the life. And, you know, I think that's something they were trying to do with Dungeoneering. So, I think more team-based things like Dungeoneering would be a good thing, providing you don't have to work with idiots. But anyways, aside from that, the main point that I think that makes me come back to RS is that I still have a huge list of things that I need to do one day or another. It's kind of disappointing that I can't do the fun things anymore since I have level 99 and a bunch of skills. I mean, I have 7 99s, and it just seems as though once you get 99 in skill, there's nothing left to do with the skill. I still take some joy out of farming, but everything else is just, I don't know, I just don't see the point to putting money into, say, Herblore or something like that when it's not my favorite skill. But aside from that, I'd say it's the goals that keep me playing when I go into a long string of RS playing. It's because I want to get something done and accomplish it. For example, when I was getting 99 Herblore, I did something like an 8-hour long session of mixing my last batch of potions. And that, for me, is my longest session of RS ever. Normally, I try to keep it down to about 2-hour segments, if that. So, for me, it's the goals, and if I can get other people to play something on there with, that would be good as well. And, you know, I've always wanted to try PKing, but I assume that, like, the problem was back in with this combat system is that it's all too dependent on whether or not you're able to trick the combat system by being a peer, whether you're able to get the most expensive gear, and ultimately comes down to the dice roll system that is RS Combat. So, I mean, I always like the PvP aspect. You know, Trekkie, that I like PvP in Star Trek Online, but I just could never do it in RS because I just couldn't get over the dice roll system.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess from that I'm saying maybe when this combat update comes out I might like to try some PKing.
As for me, I still see it as a computer game. You know, like you said, it did influence a lot of things I do, and I'm glad I met a lot of good people here on RuneScape. I mean, if it wasn't for RS, when I met you, Mike, and we would not be having our weekly StarCraft 2 two thing going on. The other thing, though, is the fact, you know, like you said, Dungeoneering didn't help me meet come other people, too, that are very cool, very powerful, very deadly.
Yeah. I take that back. Based on what you said, I will say that it did have a very major role because I've, like you said, I met some good people through this, you included in this, through just RS, which of course led to RSBNB, so you do have to credit RS for that a bit. So I will say that, yes, it was very important.
Mm-hmm. So what makes you come back into the game?
Like I said, it's all about the goals that I can set for myself. And the question is, can I still find ways to do the fun skills like I had the most fun with? Because I'd say my most fun 99s were farming, woodcutting, agility, and herblore.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if I could find a way to make those skills useful and keep leveling them, maybe, that would be just great for me. But right now, I'm set to providing my own milestones for each of these skills because, well, there's no levels past 99, and there's no way of showing that you're not just someone who got just a bit over 13 mil XP to get that agility or Herblore cape. I mean, it would be nice to have some way of showing your achievements past level 99 in those skills. So for those of us who do find a certain skill fun, we could just keep hammering on that skill and developing it. I'd say that's one of my biggest issues with the game is that the skills I want to do, I just don't see any point to do because there's, I mean, people would have to look me up in order to see this. And I mean, that would be, that'd be annoying on their part. But for me, I just don't want to, put the money into something that isn't going to provide tangible results for that. That's why I'm currently on the way to find a somewhat economical and fun way to do summoning, just like I did farming. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, you make sense.
Okay.
You want something, you want to do more than just getting 99.
Yes, exactly. So I want to do more in farming, Herblore, woodcutting and agility than just having 99. And I don't know how to do that at this stage. It would be nice to have some endgame content for those skills. What about you?
When mostly come back, I think really one of the main reasons I come back is really the Citadel. So since I'm a part of a pretty big clan, it's one of those things that's like, you know, I really should help them out because everybody's trying to go for the same goal. Citadel and obviously you and Mike and them are, you know, keeping me in the game. To be honest, I'm not really too worried about getting a 99. I just do random stuff every day and a little bit here, a little bit there, and that all that adds up.
Yeah, and you know, that's another good point. Based on experience for any new players or relatively new players in the game who are leveling at about the 60s or so, I would say don't rush the 99s because there's only so many 99s in the game that you're actually going to enjoy, so take the time to enjoy them. Like I said, if I was to turn the clock back a bit, I would only have those four 99s I mentioned, except with maybe fire making. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nah, not really.
All right. Thank you, Uncle Dano. Our next question is from Maramska.
Kia ora. Tom from Invercargill here. Just got a question this week. Just like to give Jared a good spun before Evolution Combat. I have Void. Or should I get any range for Royal Hide set? If I do range, what type of bolts do you suggest? Or should I use Mustard Keeve or Polypore stuff? Thank you for all the show.
What are you recording, Marumska?
Forgot to turn Mumble off.
So I'm guessing he recorded this in Mumble. And Uncle Dano wasn't there listening. All right. So where were we? Jad, should you wait or should you do it now?
I don't know.
I'm tempted to say that
you
should wait, because right now it's all about switching prayers, right? And that is, of course, determined based on your ping. So, I mean, like, I just don't like the idea of prayer switching. I never have. And I just don't like that your gameplay should be determined by something like that with ping. So I'd say that you should probably wait.
But I say, though, let's see. I'm tempted to say wait until they released it in the beta, and then if you want, give it a try and see how it is. And if you think it's a whole lot easier, then wait. If you think it'll be a lot harder, then do it now. So they have to release these things sooner or later anyway, so just do it then.
Actually, maybe it's already out, because I think they said last week that all content was available now in the beta. So it might actually be out. So maybe make a run on the test server as it is right now. But I think
the problem... I think the problem is, one problem I think is that, like, you're doing this right now, which is all good and great, but remember, you said I gotta go through all those waves to get to Jad.
Yeah.
None of it counts until the whole thing comes out. So if you want to try it, by all means, give it a go and tell us how it went. Or you can wait for other people to try and then see how it went. So,
actually, I don't think it's in the beta yet.
Mm. So either way, you just have to wait and see.
Yeah, but personally, I'd wait for it to come in the beta, decide if you want to do it then or wait till it comes out. But as for the second part, you know, we're kind of not the best people to ask about this because we did the Fire Cave so many years ago. It was during the Crystal Bow era. So
actually, I did it only a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I'm a little bit more recent. I just did the Guthan method of grabbing full Guthan and Excalibur and a couple other things and just, you know, pile through it.
Okay. What did you use for your primary attack type in all the waves?
I think I just melee everything.
Okay, even Jad at the end? Or... because you can't get close enough for that.
I think I was maging and ranging. I mean, meleeing and ranging. Me-range.
Okay, because I remember hearing that the best way of doing it in this day and age was a crossbow. So, I mean, I don't have any experience with that, or I don't know how well it works, so I really can't provide any advice on that. If any of our listeners know a good guide for slaying Jad and all the waves leading up to him, please do post this in the discussion at rsbnb.com/forums, because as we said, we're both kind of dated on this issue here.
Okay, then.
There's been so many updates towards ranged combat since that's been done. I mean, crossbows are just the tip of the iceberg and lots of other things as well. So please do post a guide if anybody has one. Thanks. And thank you, Maramska. Interesting way of recording your question in Mumble with everyone, or with Uncle Dano listening.
And you get Uncle Dano on two other questions this week, Shane.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's nice of him.
He's taking over, dude. He's taking over the podcast, man. I think we have to watch it.
All right. If you want to send in questions like either of these three people did, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. Just attach the file to us, and we'll play it on the show. Or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just add the username rsbnbupdate, no punctuation, nothing special there, and leave us a voicemail. Or if you live in the U.S., you can phone us at the Google Voice number 571-572-2632, and we will get your audio questions on the show. And remember, audio questions have priority. And we like audio questions, too, because it's an audio-based show, and it's nice to hear other people's voice rather than just two voices for the same hour and a half, you know?
No comment. More, you know, send in the questions, make Shane happy. If he's happy, everyone's happy. If we're all happy, maybe he'll turn liberal.
I don't think so.
Oh, come on. There's a piece of your soul that will slowly convert every day. Every time I'm here.
Okay, punishment, you have to read this question now.
No.
Yes.
No, I refuse.
Read it. Read the first paragraph.
Read it. No. Okay, let's see. We got Parnassus. Hey, guys, just finished listening to last week's episode. Another job well done. It's great to hear Uncle Dano on. First, I will address something he said about the skill of the month this month. Earning them yourself is half... oh, wait, wrong one. Thank you. Thanks for the offer of 1,000 rock tails, but you can save them for a rainy day. Earning them yourself is half the fun. I will continue to fish and raise my XP and hopefully make the competition a little interesting. I am not one to just sit and grind on it for hours after hours. However, I like to do it a bit of everything, so I want to complete my first two quests in the next few weeks. I have two questions for the panel today. First, Uncle Dano commented that he puts all his lamps and penguin points, etc. onto the fishing this month. I prefer to use mine on tasks that either cost a lot of money or something that I find boring. What do you guys do? I know it makes sense to put into skill them on to be competitive, but I feel like a skill like fishing, where you can make a bit of money, is just a waste to use them. Also, accept Uncle Daniel's friendly challenge. Keep up with him for the rest of the month. I will keep things interesting. Second question is, what do you think will be the good first 99 skill? I know Shane will say farming. I'd like to hear everyone else's opinion. I am aiming to get all my skills to 90 before I aim to get any 99s, but I am not sure what I'd like to concentrate on. Thanks for the great podcast week after week. I'm still waiting for the dungeoneering focus. Thanks. Happy RuneScaping to you all. Yes, I am working on the dungeoneering focus, but I just can't get anybody that will actually sit down for 15, 20 minutes to do it yet. Still working on it, but I'm trying, but I know it's up to the other person if they're willing to stay.
Yep. All right. I tend to put my lamps on either the most expensive or the most annoying skill. Previously, that used to be runecrafting, but not so anymore with RuneSpan. So now it goes on the most expensive skill or the most tedious skill. So in that case, right now, the most expensive skill I want to level is summoning. So they're all going on summoning. And because of that, largely from probably halfway from 88 to 89, I ended up getting 89 summoning this week from all my squeals and penguin stuff.
Mm-hmm. I usually put mine in one of the three categories, prayer, summoning, or construction, because all three of them kind of cost a bit of money for me, and I don't like training prayer because it takes a long time for me to do it. Summoning and construction, mostly because I want to save a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So for now,
I used to do prayer as well.
Until you got 95.
Yeah.
I'm only 88 right now, so... You know, as for me, though, I'm putting it in prayer because I think it's time for me to get that one up. Summoning, I'm not too worried. I'm at 88 right now. Construction, I can get that to 80 relatively easily. I'm just waiting for all my stuff to sell.
You know, I wish the Bone Crusher worked with ashes.
Well, you're supposed to keep the ashes for the thing.
I know, but I mean, I wish it would just scatter them when it came out, as that would provide lots of extra prayer training options. But anyways, that's aside from the point.
You could bring an urn.
Yeah, those are annoying. I don't like the urns. Alright. So, yeah. Right now, since summoning, I'll probably swap mine over to construction, I think. Or maybe dungeoneering again.
That's always, I used to put mine into engineering until I got to level 50, so I started doing it in the thing. Then I met, then Pokemama introduced us to Burn and to my friend Burn Seller, who's a master dungeoner, and we do it once in a while. Mad props.
Yeah, I just want to get 80 dungeoneering, then I'm happy with that skill being where it is. So I mean, I could go on some dungeoning runs, but they're always really annoying to organize for the said reasons before, that you want to have a team that you know will work, and it's just hard to get 4 to 5 people together at the same time.
The problem with dungeoneering, from my perspective, is that you have to just meet a group that will just get you up to, 90 plus. After 90 plus, most people around that level know what they're doing or what they need to do, and things go a lot smoother. It may not beat the 15-minute run, but, it's one of those things like, you'll get it done. It may take some time, but you'll get it done. And that's usually the problem with many other low levels, that you have that one person who's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, or the one who just likes to sit.
Mm-hmm. And he has no idea what he ever got a clue or anything on what to do. And usually, when you do those type of things, you really have someone who's higher level just to kind of train you up, teach you the ropes and move.
Anyways. Let's now that we know where our lamps are going, let's talk about the second one. What would be the first good 99 skill? And yes, you are right. I would say farming. But but if you want another opinion, my opinion, if you want something that will shock people, go for either 99 Constitution Untrimmed or 99 Slayer untrimmed, but those are likely to be not that easy to do. But the real option that I would say is go for whichever skill is your most favorite. That's what I did with farming, and that's what I suggest everyone do.
My favorite skill was
fishing.
So
if you really like smithing, go for smithing.
That is so expensive, though.
I know. Well, you could do mining and mine your own gold and do it that way.
Yeah, if you want. A lot of days at Living Rocks. But let's see. I would say cooking. If you want to go for an easy 99, go cooking. Because,
the question is, do you want that 99?
What's wrong with cooking? Cooking, cool.
Nothing, but I mean, it's just a personal preference. Somebody might not want that 99. I mean, that's why I say go for your favorite skill.
Well, I was just saying cooking, because usually if you're trying to go for 99 cooking, you go for, you know, higher level fishing, and those kind of intertwine. So
yeah,
you should get one up the other.
That's a good way to level
up,
in general, just try and intertwine skills and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. But, you know, if you really... If you have to bankroll, I would go 99 summoning. if you have the patience to get all those charms, you know, my hat's off to you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, you, Parnassius. Next one's from Duke Juker. Dear hosts, are there any areas of RuneScape do you think should be made more accessible by teleport, gnome glider, etc.? After finishing quests, I tend to hold on to my School of Fortune spins. Should I do this in hopes of better available rewards later on, or just use them now? There are lots of ways to get seeds, but the most realistic and obvious way is never being put in the game by Jagex. Should Jagex make it so that you can receive seeds back from the things you farm in addition to whatever they yield? All right, let's start from the bottom and work our way up. This already exists in the game.
Yeah,
there's
it's
a scroll
it's
you can buy from Dungeoneering. The name escapes me, but I bought it, and I've got lots of interesting seeds back. Sometimes you don't get the seed back that you harvested. Sometimes you get something better.
Bitter.
And it's always nice when you're doing a magic tree run and you get a magic tree seed back.
Yes. So it's there. You know, it's still a random chance, and same goes for smithing. If you're smithing bars, you have a chance of retaining a bar, although it's, you know, again, very, very small, and... You know, a lot of Dungeoneering schools, they're focused primarily for now. The ones that are useful are the herblore ones, where they save you a herb and a secondary every once in a while, which is very, very good.
Yeah, that's true. What's the name of the scroll? I forget. Do you know offhand?
Offhand, no, not off my head.
Let's see. I'm thinking Scroll of Life, but I'm not sure. Come on, are you the Scroll of Life? Let's see. Quick, let's Google Scroll of Life. Yes, that is the Scroll of Life. Requires farming 25 and Dungeoneering 25. Thank you, Google.
What's the other one? Doesn't those juju plants help you with the farming?
They have the potential of increasing your herb yield, but that's it.
Mm.
The juju farming potions.
At juju.
Yeah.
Okay. And so his second question, should he save up spins?
You know, I don't know. I tend to use the ones that you get every day because those ones stack. So your chances are you're probably missing out on your daily 3 spins. Those are not stacking, I don't believe. So I just use them as you get them. I mean, there's always going to be Squeal of Fortune spins coming around and everything like that, so why not just use them when you have them? That's my motto on that.
Yeah, I just use them all whenever it comes up because I don't bother with it. Ooh.
Yep. What?
I mean, my citadel, someone brought the clan avatar thing over.
Oh, okay.
That thing's ugly.
Anyways, so, and then the first question, any areas that should be more accessible by teleport, No, everything already has too many teleports. Back in the olden days of 2004, 5, and 6, you had to actually walk areas from teleporting to a hub area. So, I mean, right now, like, everywhere you can get to, you can teleport practically anywhere, and it's too easy to get around. I mean, I can't think of one place on RuneScape that you can't get to by teleporting in about a minute or less. Can you?
You get thrown anywhere in about 20 seconds, and that's without using teleporting runes. Just like using rings and amulets and fairy rings and gliders and everything else. You know, I mean, you're in some obvious lodestone. They're taking you everywhere.
Yeah, so I think we actually got too many teleports, and, you know, based on the way this is going, I had this theory when the combat beta came out that maybe they'd be actually removing teleports from the magic skill and just leaving you to your own devices to get around, since we have so many other ways of getting around in RuneScape. But, of course, that didn't happen, but I think it could happen if they wanted it to, because it's just, there's enough ways to get around. So, I think the world is oversaturated in transportation methods. Because back in the olden days, what did we have? We just had the little boat that went from Ardoyan to Brimhaven, and from Karamja to Port Sarum. And then that's how you got to the island, then you had to walk the rest of the way. There's no teleports to the southern part of the island. There's of course the Grand Tree Network, but that was it. There were no fairy rings, there were no lodestones, there was no house teleport, there was no extra spirit tree teleport to places like mobilizing armies. There was no actual teleport to mobilizing armies in that area down there. There was no fairy ring to get quick up to the Slayer area. There's no Eagle Network to get to hunting places. There is no Ectofiel to get to the Eastern Lines. You have to walk. I mean, we really are oversaturated in teleport methods these days. So, answer that one's a resounding no. All right, do you have anything else to add on this one?
Nope, not a thing.
All right. Moving on to tech news, then. Your White House in the U.S. has made its We the People online petition tool open source. So what this essentially is it's a tool that the White House website uses to allow people to start petitions. Examples of petitions that are currently going on include no-fly zone over Syria, to White House, to a request to release the White House recipe for honey ale. So, in being a good internet citizen, or I guess even just wanting to promote good government, they have released this to the open source world, so that anybody who wanted to start their own petition could end up doing that. So it's perfectly acceptable for anybody else to take this and go use it, and it's it's safe because it's open source. So I think this is a good thing. What do you think?
To each their own. But, you know, most online petitions never really work out, though.
Yeah, and that's a problem. So maybe I was thinking that something like this is something that's needed to make petitions more online, make them carry more weight, because I think the best kind of petition in this day and age is still where you go and print out each page of all the signatures on it, you know, and deliver it to whoever you're trying to petition. So, but the goals of this says that President Obama is committed to creating the most open and participatory government in our nation's history, and this petitioning platform is key to that initiative. In September 2011, the White House launched We the People, a powerful and simple way to petition the Obama administration to take action on a range of issues. If a petition gathers minimum number of signatures in a defined amount of time, policy officials will review it and publish an official response. And you can find the actual White House one at petitions.whitehouse.gov.
Yes, so you can let's start a petition, Shane. Let's start a petition.
Let's sign this one. Implement a no-fly zone in northern Syria.
But I thought you didn't believe in that stuff.
What?
I was getting involved in other countries.
Well, it depends on based on what's at stake and what could come from the relationship. It's a complicated view. I'll tell you about it later if you like.
Okay, so do you want to move on to the next one? Which this one?
Yeah,
pretty
the next
dear to
one
my heart.
Is. Okay. Let's get included it then.
Well, some of you may or may not know, the Nintendo Power will release its last issue in this December. So it's been confirmed that they will no longer be giving out Nintendo Power magazines to the public. This December will be the very last one. So just read off one little thing. Nintendo has confirmed the news of Nintendo Power's closing, which we first reported yesterday, saying that magazine will cease publishing at the end of the year. Nintendo can confirm that the future U.S. will end the production of Nintendo Power magazines with the last issue slated for December of 2012. The company sent a statement directing users to a consumer service page for subscription inquiries. You know, I actually did own it, subscribe to Nintendo Power for a couple of years back in high school. Was it? No, school. You know, GameCube kind of was just came out, and all Nintendo 64 was, you know, still in its prime. So, you know, I subscribed to it, even though I have very little games, but I love reading it about the different games and just, you know, read it in general. You know, I kept some, but then what happened was, you know, was all that were getting destroyed, so I just threw them all away. I actually enjoyed reading the magazines, all the little tidbits and some. My favorite section was the one at the end called the, I can't remember what was it called now, but it was one of those challenge things where you have to do something in a game that's supposed to be very, very challenging. Could be anything from, you know, in Star Fox 64, not getting your laser upgrades, all the way to doing in Rogue Squadron, never using your brakes while flying to the Death Star.
And, you know, I think this signals that their audience, in particular gamers, really just don't get their news anymore from paper sources like this, because there's so many websites online where you can get this kind of news. So I guess this kind of thing was bound to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, you know, I know you never did it, Shane, but over here, me and my sister, you should subscribe to the Fox Kids little magazine. It was, you know, it was like about 10 pages, and you know, it was free, so we never really did anything with it, but you know, me and my sister loved it. We always look forward to it every single month. And you know, when they decided to cancel around, what was it, I think it was like 2003 or so, I was kind of disappointed too. But you know, at that time we were outgrowing watching Saturday morning cartoons anyway. And Nintendo Power, I loved it. You know, I really did enjoy reading that magazine. I read some of those like almost every day, just read back to old articles. My favorite one was just reading what everybody, you know, it was like the whole gamer corner. You know, how do you say, consider yourself a gamer and what you did, and all that kind of stuff. And there was this one article I remember where there was a grandma who used to play Zelda when she was younger, and she knew like, you know, every single secret in Zelda, like every nook and cranny, every super item, every little dungeon. And she was reminiscing over it, and she used to say that, she said in the article that she loved it when her grandkids came over to play and she would help them out, and she's like, grandma, you're the coolest grandma ever.
See, that's great. That's great.
No, that's going to be us.
Yeah, one day it probably will. It's going to be. But, you know, that's also highlighting a different way the trend is going. I don't think people call Nintendo gamers, like Wii gamers in this day and age, gamers, even though they are. The thing that people consider gamers are the Xbox and PS3 people, the Call of Duty fanboys, which really is kind of disappointing, considering that this is where everything came from. Nintendo was a pioneer in this, and they seem to be just slowly slipping away. It's kind of unfortunate, but I guess the magazine was bound to happen to disappear like that. But, you know, I think for just for so I have it, I don't normally buy it. I never had a subscription. I think when they ship this final issue in December, I think I will pick it up.
I think the problem with that is, like, you and every other 10 billion people. You know, it's always funny is that, you know, like with anything that's about to end, there's always a mad rush to try to get the last one. And, you know, ends up happening. You know, it's kind of like what happened a couple months ago with the whole encyclopedia thing. They said they were never going to print newspaper sources anymore. And what happened? There were, like, you know, thousands of people buying it. And it was like, we're sold out.
Yeah, so we'll try. One of us will probably get it. You'll have to try and get one too.
The only one that matters is the very first one. If you have the very first one in good condition, I bet you can make a lot of money off of it. And
I wonder about Nintendo. I don't know.
Keep it in good condition.
Yeah, who knows? I have the first in the mid 90s. There's a Star Trek magazine started, and I have the first issue of that still.
Is it in good condition?
I think relatively.
Okay, no little bent corners and all that.
I'm not sure, probably not. But it was in a huge stack. Like, I could just read them and then put it on the stack, you know. Anyways, I still do that here, and every time Mike comes over, I offer him the latest one to read, but he declines. All right, next up, Apple's most valuable company in history. It happened. So on Monday, this past Monday, Apple stock jumped to beyond $620 billion market cap, which was initially set by Microsoft in 1999.
Sooner or later, they're gonna take over the world.
Yeah, probably. There are people saying that they could end up being $750 by this time next year, or even beyond that, and one day pass the $1 trillion market share, given they're already halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think this speaks a lot towards the success of the company in general, don't you think? And their consumer-focused standpoint, and just trying to keep the consumers, I guess, first. Because not many other companies do that, like compared to Microsoft. But, you know, something bad could happen with them, and they might end up in the same position that Microsoft is in now, where they're not the market leader. They could be supplanted by someone else. Who knows? But it's also worth noting that Microsoft would still hold the record if numbers were adjusted for inflation, because $1999 is a lot different than 2012.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you remember the article a couple months ago, and basically you had $1,000 of Apple when it first came out. You have like, what, I can't remember what it was, like 100,000 or something like that in the short amount of time.
Yep.
Yeah, we should, man. And, don't you wish? Don't you wish we could have invested in Oracle? We'd be millionaires.
Yeah, or even Google. I mean, just a couple of years too young for all this stuff. We could have been industry leading, making lots of money from this. But in any case, if Microsoft's value was adjusted for inflation, they would have been worth about $850 billion on December 30th, 1999. They're now worth $257 billion. So not small, but definitely shrunk a bit. So, I mean, Apple's got it. They're like they're like that political party that has the best PR machine out there, and everybody knows about them, and everybody goes for them because they like what they stand for, or they like the product. In this case, the product that they deliver.
So. Okay.
No, I'm not referring to that.
What? Referring to what?
What you just typed in the doc.
Our trade secret. Now people will be wondering.
Yes, all right. Moving on, right, Skill of the Month update.
All right, let's
so
whoa.
Kralok's still in first place with 4.3 million XP gained. A bit of movement here between for second place because Minor Goo is maintaining his position at roughly 2.9 million. But Pyronasius has indeed caught up and effectively tied him by about, 55,000 XP short. So Pyronasius is probably in position to take number two. I don't know if they'll take number one by the time the month is over. Only time can tell. But from that, Uncle Dano is in fourth place, who was on last week with 2.6 million XP gain. And then we got Duke Juker, who is in fifth at 1.3 million, who is flat.
Beep, beep, beep!
Ouch! That hurt my ears. All right, achievements of the week. What was that? Okay, that's not necessary.
Yes, it is.
That's not... All right. First person who got 99 this week was Sexy Ketchup at 99 Firemaking on the 22nd. Congratulations.
Second person was JBobMam7, who got 99 Roadcraft on August 21st.
And Lunastra got 99 Ranged on the 21st as well. Congratulations to you all. All right, time for a pick. Now, Trekkie, please do tell everyone what your reaction was when I told you what this pick was.
Gee, why am I not surprised?
All right, so everybody probably knows of WikiLeaks from last year when they were in the spotlight for exposing a huge amount of documents and their founder, Julian Assange. But that is not the pick this week. The pick is a video from a TV show I was watching earlier in the week entitled "Exposing Julian Assange." Provides some arguments as to how he's not the freedom fighter that all his fans make him out to be, and how he is actually was actually doing the equivalent of, if this was in World War II, releasing to the Germans that that the British knew about the Enigma machine, or they had radar to stop them, or that they knew they were coming to on the D-Day invasion in 1944. So it just provides some arguments that he's not all he's made out to be, and if this was indeed in true war times and this was World War II, he would be the equivalent of somebody who would have been leading the charge to expose these vulnerabilities to the Germans or something like that. Because you also have to look at this from the perspective that he effectively blew open holes in U.S. government, other democratic governments, but he never did anything like that for oppressive regimes like Iran, for example, or Syria. He just focuses on the ones that are safe, the ones that won't get him hurt. So I just highly recommend that you watch this and get another opinion on Julian Assange. And, this is kind of what I was referring to with the whole WikiLeaks thing last year, in that, it's some of the things that were out shouldn't have been out, and it's just bad for somebody to be releasing documents like this and taking pleasure in doing that. So, I highly recommend that everybody just watch this for an altering viewpoint.
And, when the whole WikiLeaks stuff started going on, we had a long discussion over this as well. And I just remember I made a forum topic asking if, what you think what he did was right or wrong. And, he basically exposed, in your opinion, it was good or bad. He exposed a lot of military atrocities that happened in the War on Terror. Some of the most infamous one was, friendly fire, and where the government tried very hard to cover them, every single one of them up.
Well, that's different compared to releasing, say, technology that how the military in Afghanistan detects or blocks signals from terrorist IED devices being detonated. That's entirely different. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about in here.
Yeah, well, I was trying to get into that next, but he also, you know, he thing was that even though in the future people may look at him and see maybe he did the right thing or not, but that's a future to tell. But, you know, at the timing of everything he released is just completely wrong. Maybe when if the war is over and, like, oh, we don't have to worry about conspiracy theories and all that kind of stuff, or releasing this may, you know, just be trigger some, you know, some, I don't know, more thought into it. I mean, you remember, Shane, if, you know, just like, just as a friend of our president in World War II, we knew that Japan was coming to Pearl Harbor, but we let them get bombed anyway. And we also knew about the concentration camps all over Germany. We knew every single one. We didn't do anything about it because we didn't want this, because of, for whatever reason, you know, if they had released that information at that time, can you imagine what the public outrage would be that you let us bomb?
Yeah. And the thing is that in military operations like this, things are kept quiet because they need to keep quiet because people's lives depend on it. So, I mean, that's just the hypocrisy about this that I don't get, trying to save lives, but in fact endangering them. And also the fact that he's running to all kinds of little embassies in London to get asylum in Ecuador or something to prevent being extradited to Sweden for his sexual assault crimes or whatever. I mean, it's just sickening the way he acts. And that's why I wanted to have this here, is because so many people seem to blindly believe in him that I thought it would be good to have an altering perspective on him.
You know, and again, it's all about timing. Maybe in 30 years when the technology we're using is completely outdated and doesn't matter anymore, exposing this means absolutely nothing.
Oh, exactly.
Really? I mean, remember, you know, we had the whole Enigma thing going on for German codebreakers. The British not release that.
Yeah, and if he got a hold of this information, do you think he'd probably post it on his website if this existed in the 1940s?
There was no website back then, but...
I know, but I mean, if there was, speaking hypothetically, you know?
So, you know, and again, anyways, it's all about timing. So maybe, you know, it's up to the future to decide what will happen. So you guys decided good or bad.
But please do watch this video. It's about 17 minutes, so watch it while you're going on a farming run or something like that. All right, what have we been up to?
Oi, well, you want to go first, Shane? Because I know you always have a lot of stuff.
You can go first. No, you can go first.
I didn't do much this week. I got my agility up because I managed to get a very, very good prize agility pendant. I was like, oh, yay. So I got myself agility. I can do one of the shortcuts in the Slayer dungeon. And I ended up getting one for magic. So I was, you know, using that to enchant my glories, which I made good profit this week. All my glories.
Oh, that's good.
What was the other one? And I'm just, other than that, working on the Citadel. I started school back. So I just came back from a little Microsoft quiz. And
this with is the Chinese and Spanish characters.
Okay, so Shane, you could put this in, like, you know, clip show in the future, but here's what happened. So I had to go to class today because I had to take a little – I'm trying to challenge a class. And when you challenge this, you have to do the, you know, assignment. So it's just all Word, PowerPoint, Excel, Access, which, you know, most of us know very well anyway. I just brushed up on Access and Excel to make sure I knew what I needed to do. When I got into Access, you know, teacher gave me a table. We had to put into Access and make some reports out of it. And I said, okay. So I started typing it all in. And I noticed, like, why did my numbers turn Chinese? So I don't know what happened. I can't make this up. You know, I can't make this thing up. I type in the number back, but what happened was the name that associated with a number ended up turning to Spanish. So I would go and try and change the Spanish name back to English. It'll change the numbers back into Chinese. I was like, what the heck? And I asked you, I can't make this up. You know, if I wanted to hack to get ahead, I could do something better than this. She's like, I have never seen this before. Do you have? I have no idea what the heck is going on. And you finally said, like, you know what? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You showed me. I know what's going on. I have never seen this happen. Like, clearly not. Cause if you had, we had this happen before, I wouldn't be in this situation. And it was like, it was just so weird.
Yep. I mean, sometimes there's those strange computer things, and you just can't explain them. And this is one of them, and they're pretty funny sometimes.
It was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, well, anyway, I did the test, and you know, it's either I told the teacher, I'll either dazzle you with what I did, or I will fail miserably. Oh, crash and burn. So, you know, so yeah. Let's be a lesson to you. If you ever use Microsoft Access and you start putting numbers turn Chinese, you will remember this. Actually, I think one number turned Japanese as well.
All right, definitely an interesting week there. As for me, this week primarily just did a bit more work on getting my shades together, burning take them to burn. For the hard task. And aside from that, I got 89 summoning through Squeal and other lamps that I achieved. Just, I didn't buy any spins or anything. I just got them as they came by. So, definitely good progress there, since I've wanted a Geyser Titan for a while, because, you know, when last time I did Glories, like you do every so often, I just found it so painful to go charge them up, and I wanted the Geyser Titan to do that. So I have that Geyser Titan now, finally.
Yay. My only pet peeve is that it costs quite a bit to even buy from the GE. It's not expensive, but still, it's one of those things, and it's like, you'll only use it for about, you know, 1-3 minutes tops. And, you know, it's one of those things where I found out, you know, I don't want to waste it because it lasts for an hour and I'm not going to fight after I'm done with this. I just figured it would just be easier for me to, I just figured it would just a long way because I only have 100 or so to do. It's not too much. I'll be done in, you know, a little bit longer, but I'll still be about 5 minutes.
Another thing with Geyser Titans is that if you use a bowl on them, you get a bowl of hot water.
Oh, yeah. Very good. You can wash your face and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Totally water.
And aside from that, I I got a new domain, thedailybits.ca, where you can access, of course, all the old RS pictures and a stream of RuneWire posts and things I retweet and whatnot. So, and of course, the RS Adventures log, and of course, the old Flash archive. So, thedailybits.ca.
BITS.
Yep, BITS. All one word. And I think that's it. I think that's it. That's
okay.
All we got for this week.
Ah, the.
Yes, that's right. The, at the beginning. So if anybody has any questions, remember you can send those in to the topic that'll be posted earlier in the week, and please do send us those audio questions. We like those a lot. See you next week, everyone.
Bye-bye, and, happy studying, happy schooling, and study hard.